Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
What up, everybody? It's Wells P. I'm the guest this week on Kicks and Shit, so make sure to check it out.
What's good, everybody? It's your boy Gerard and your girl Gabby. We are back. Episode 47 of the Kicks and Shit Show. Like that?
That's like the most animated one yet. I mean, I think at the end of the year, we need to do a compilation, but like an auto-tune, you know? Ooh, and it was like, hide your kids, hide your wives, and there was like a remix of that. I think we need like the motherfucking remix of you doing the trumpets and then ending it with our favorite Cypher sounds.
Don't get gassed.
We gonna find you. Yeah, I'm gonna put all the cool social media memes and things from of the last 30 years.
If we do a compilation of all the horns, no one's gonna be looking. Respectfully.
Anyway, how are you? What's going on in those streets?
Oh, Gerard.
You're working hard over there. Are you allowed to tell the world like what you do for a living? Or are you still kind of like, nah, I'm not really trying to put that out there?
So, you know, I'm not trying to like put myself on blast like that. Okay, you know, girl's got to maintain a little bit of secrecy. You know, I was made for the streets. And what do they say? Snitches get stitches. So
snitches do get stitches. And, you know,
I don't know what happens at my job now that I'm part of this corporate life. But,
they also say, you know what else they say? Real G's move in silence. That's what they also say.
I mean, you know I'm a real G.
We're already off the rails.
G-A-B-O-L-O-U-S, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Nope, nobody.
Oh, yeah, I went there. That's what happens, Gerard, when I have way too much coffee and not enough sleep. I mean, I think those...
Oh, man. Shouts to Fab, man. Oh, that was nice. I like this shouting him out right there. Even though this was months ago. Oh, it was last year? Didn't happen in last year? The Fab Jadakiss versus, was that last year or beginning of this year?
I mean, it all blends the same. I call it like post-pandemic or like pre-corona. Like
it was during the pandemic. I know that. Well, I mean, yes, because we're still in the pandemic.
It was last year.
Okay.
No, it was last year.
Like end of last year, though, right? Yeah, like it was end of last year. Anyway, that was, I mean,
it was post-Beanie Man. That's all I remember. It was after the Beanie Man versus. Post-Beanie. Legendary. I was like, that's all of our COVID bodies on display with Beanie Man. Like, that was like one of the best ones, by the way. No, so I don't see any shade. It was
excellent. Versus, by the way, what a fantastic idea. And really, you get some fantastic moments, great memes from there. I remember, guys, when the Jadakiss Fab versus happening, Gabby sending me like IG pics of like, oh, remember that time that I hung out with the Locks? Yeah, I'm the third member.
I'm the kosher Locks. Absolutely. Happy Passover. Chag Sameach to all of our Jewish friends listening. All two of you, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate y'all.
And folks, yes, of course I know there are already three members of Locks, but in that photo, only Jada and Styles were there. Sheik was not present, so Gabby was the third member of the Locks in that photo because she said she's the coach of Locks.
The Grevlocks? No, I'm just kidding.
No.
All right, we're gonna stop right there. We're gonna drop that thing down, flip it, reverse it. Gerard, how are you doing in these streets?
Okay. It's weather's changing. It's Passover, Easter weeks. Like where this is the period that we're in right now, which means spring is trying to sprung. Spring is sprung. Whatever. Spring is trying to get here. It really ain't. I mean, it's trying.
My favorite season, Gerard. You know what season that is.
Bike short and ankle weight season.
Just bike short season. Let's not get carried away. You know.
You would see you were so high on the ankle shorts, the ankle weights last year that bring them back.
Ankle weights are still a vibe, but you know what I mean. They have to be treated independently of each
fair
other.
Enough.
You know
fair
what
enough.
I mean? Like
fair enough.
You can wear ankle weights all winter long. You cannot wear bike shorts all winter long.
Certainly not. Certainly not in these streets. Not with all the snow and the sub temperatures we were having this winter. Ankle bike shorts would have not been appropriate at all.
No, mama gets cold. So,
you know, we just mentioned Passover and Easter. Gabby, some strange things have been happening in the sneaker world.
holy hell, Gerard. That's all I gotta say. You know what I mean?
And honestly, I'm not even gonna say strange. All right, it's just things. So Lil Nas X, who you folks know, right? Music recording artist, superstar, released a pair of Nike custom shoes that apparently have human blood in the soles, right? And they're red, and everybody's like, oh my God, the satanic worship. And it's like, see, it actually was brilliant, because here's what I think this all is. Timing the release to happen now during Holy Week is perfect, because he knows all the religious right-wing nuts are going to go crazy when they see this. What's that going to do? Generate interest, right? It's brilliant. It is so, come on, folks. Do you not see when the okey-doke is being pulled right in front of you? Like, they're just doing it. It's happening. And now the whole world's in an uproar and things are going crazy. Nike's got to distance itself. They just sued the company that Nas X is working with to be like, we have nothing to do with these shoes. And it's true. Nike, these aren't a Nike release at all.
No, I know. I love that you bring it into, like, the right wing sphere. I think this is, like, most of the wings, except for, like, the crazy people. Like, these is bloody shoes, y'all. Like, the great poet Cardi B, okay?
Hugh, drop that in right there.
Jesus, red bottoms. Jesus, bloody shoes. I just, like, the thing that's so fascinating about this one, right, is, like, people are up in arms. There's been, like, quote-unquote bloody shoes, you know, like the Freddy Krueger dunks, like, other pairs out there that have, like, taken a nod to this. But I think it's so funny because it is, like, Holy Week, to your point, Gerard. That's part of it. But the fact that Nike went to issue a statement, that's the piece for me that I find the most fascinating, because I've had friends send me this because the custom aesthetic of these shoes isn't that wild.
Not.
I mean, minus the blood.
Yeah, but, of course.
You know, but for the most part, like, a lot of customs, you can tell that they're custom. So Nike doesn't necessarily feel like they need to issue a statement, whether they're offensive or otherwise. But the fact that these kind of look like the undefeated 97s, they might be. I mean, they might have been custom for that, you know. And that there's nothing crazy with the actual design, but it's the messaging. That's what I think is so fascinating about, from a brand perspective, Nike getting involved, because the average person who doesn't necessarily know how big the custom game is, I had a few of those friends send pictures of these sneakers to me being like, what do you think? Like, I can't believe Nike's behind this.
And you're like, no, Nike's not behind it.
Right. Like, this is another custom shoe. Like, I don't think twice about it. You don't think twice about it. It's just very fascinating that that's the direction that this has gone. Not that, like, the Pope is on his way. Or an exorcism of some person. Exorcise them demons, you know what I mean, around these kicks. So.
Oh, man. It's interesting because I've been seeing a little bit of the stuff that Lil Nas X has been posting. And, you know, the things that have been done in the world in the name of religion have been quite abhorrent over the history of time, right? Like, people fight wars, murder people, and do all sorts of horrendous things all behind religion, right? I mean, I'm not breaking news. This is history. Look it up, right? And I think it's so interesting that Lil Nas X is in so many points. He's like, because he's getting a lot of negative messaging on social media, again, from those who are right wing and those who are what they consider themselves Christian and, you know, God worshiping and very religious. And it's like, yo, aren't religions all about, like, love and tolerance and, like, at least that's the message you say, right? When you're talking to people. But the things you say to this dude, like, those don't seem very loving or tolerant or include. They don't sound like that at all. They sound very anti that, right? The complete opposite, which is what I find so funny about organized religion. This is not a podcast about organized religion. I just think it's funny, the mixed messaging, right? It's like, yo, like, if God is this, like, all loving, whatever, what's this stuff then? Like, why are we going nuts on this side?
Well, I think that's why it's such a weird dichotomy, right? It's like these sneakers say to, like, Satan, can you kick it? Yes, he can. You know what I mean? It just, like, doesn't make sense to me on so many levels, but that's why it's so great. Like, you know, if, like, American Horror Story did a Nike collab that looked literally exactly the same, because they've had similar logos on some of their shows. Great show, by the way. You know,
it's wonderful.
Back soon. I don't think people would be up in arms. No. I think the blood piece, first of all, I have so many questions about this that, you know, we would need a separate show. I mean, I feel like we say this every week, but whose blood is it? Is it human blood?
So apparently the designers who worked on it from the company that's being sued by Nike, they, each of them, like, pricked their hand, and it's from those people.
Blood brothers?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Gerard, I go to the doctor to get my physical once a year, and let me tell you, no finger prick is filling up blood for 666 pairs of shoes, my friend.
I agree.
That's like a human sacrifice kind of shit, so I don't know.
You need to get, like, a legitimate, you know, a nurse or phlebotomist there to actually drain, like, some test tube vials of blood, right? Like, that's how that would work, I would guess, if you wanted to fill up.
Even still, I'm a hard stick. My veins are scared, so I don't think I think I'd have to bleed out to be able to fulfill, like, 100 of those shoes.
We have taken such a dark turn talking about this.
Yeah, welcome to the Kicks and Shit Show, guys. It's a family show.
Yeah, right, real. But it's all just funny to me. And, like, again, it's just, people don't see when, like, the game is being, like, done right in front of them, right? It's like, but that's where we are right now, because that's how society works. something happens, immediate reaction, and then right, and it's just, and it feeds the endless loop cycle. This is the game, right? And it's like, people, you don't have to play in the game if you don't want to, right? It's like, it's not a big deal. It's some shoes.
No, like, I agree. The one thing that I do think is really interesting, like the more and more I think about it, and like I've read the articles. You and I have talked about this offline. I just think it's so funny because they're in a world of so many collabs that like barely get the time of day. Mm-hmm. It's just fascinating. Like from a PR standpoint, like who produced this? Kris Jenner? Like it's fucking brilliant. Like everybody is talking about it.
Yes.
Like is Lil Nas even that relevant right now? Do you know what I mean? Like I got the horses in the back that are, I don't even know what they're doing back there, but you know.
No,
it's just very interesting for so many reasons to me. You know, I love the PR swirl around it. Right.
I think, again, Gabby, it's just, if this, let's say if this happened, I don't know, in the middle of like July, or I don't know that it's like that big of a deal. But again, I think the Holy Week component really was a brilliant timing, because this is the most important week for people who identify themselves as Christians, right? Like you got Good Friday, right? You got Easter Sunday, you know, it's all coming up. It's brilliant to do that this week, because you know it's going to create a reaction from that grouping of people, right? And so, you know, again, kids, the game is the game, right? Like someone said it a million years ago. I don't know who to attribute it to, but no press is bad press, right? Like or all press is good press, right? Like it's once people are talking about you, that is ultimately what you want.
Right? That's how you know you made it.
Right.
We all got raptured by this new story this week,
correct? Look at you dropping in rapture in there. I see what you did there. I see what you did there.
You know, I watched Dogma last week. It's a classic.
I watched Dogma last week. Oh, man. Anyway, I'm sure we'll see more Nike, you know. And I think Nike, for their part, honestly, Gabby, it was the pressure from, again, the religious right and the fear that, oh, what if they boycott? But like we talk about it all the time, Nike, I mean, look, if y'all can weather like terrible manufacturing stories about conditions in like, you know, Asia and like, I think you'll be all right. Like, I think you'll be fine. Like, I really do.
Was West Coast Joe like behind the scenes making this one? Is that what's happening here?
Yeah, he's
because
like,
I mean, Nike's had a tough year with some press. So, you know, I think they're like, get us as far away from this as possible. We have enough to deal with. We're trying to figure out our distribution channels. We're doing surprise drops on sneakers apps. So shouts to those who actually got lucky.
Mm-hmm. Saw those today.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Got their hands on some of those fire pairs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just think it's fascinating that Nike's like, nah, we out.
We want nothing to do with this.
Nope.
Well, folks, that's all for our sort of like catch up in the news. But don't go away, because we have a very, very special guest coming up next. I mean, all our guests are special, and we know you love all of them. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this one, not just because it's a different perspective, and it's somebody who, you know, OG in the sneaker game. He's got connections to athletes, entertainers, you know, and he has a special little friend that he may or may not, you know, bring on the show. So you have to stay tuned.
It's just a surprise that you've been talking about for like days, Gerard. Gerard keeps saying like, I have a surprise. And dropping little hints everywhere. And I'm like, I mean, you guys know your girl's a child. So
yes, she loves surprises.
I don't do well with surprises. No,
she's trying to, trying to figure them out. She keeps asking questions. I will say this. I know you are going to swoon, maybe strong, but I think you're going to, it's going to touch and pull at your emotional heartstrings. So I'm looking forward to you seeing what our special guest is bringing.
That's all I gotta say. I feel like I know where we're going with this, but I'm hyped for it, whether I'm correct or not. Rough
Riders for life. Anyway, folks, stay tuned. We'll be back with our special guest. Peace. What's good, everybody? We are back. Gabby, we're not alone. We are joined by OG sneaker guy, marketer, DJ. Wait, and most important title that he is, that he doesn't even know I'm gonna say this. Father to the most adorable French bulldog in the history of the world, Kai.
Kai.
Our guy, Wells P. What's up, Wells?
What's up, guys? How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Good.
Thanks for
Gabby, Wells's dog, Kai, is like, I mean, first of all, Frenchies are like, I mean, they're so cute. and this dog is just like, oh my God. Puppy.
Do you go to him real quick?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I have so many questions already.
Okay, I'll get him.
Like yeah. Listen.
My head is swirling right now. I'm like, is it named after Cobra Kai?
Cobra Kai. Like,
this is, now we're off the rails already. We're off the rails at the beginning of segment two, guys.
Listen, it's fine. It's all good. Listen, we're not just a sneaker show. I mean, yes, it's Kicks, of course, that's in the title. But there's also an and shit, right? Like, there's other stuff.
Only not dog shit, but well, you know.
Well, Kai's a puppy, so hopefully Kai might be getting some house trading, so Kai might be doing a little bit of Hello, Kai. How's it going? And she a little
my
wave.
Full heart with a little wave. Is he named after Cobra Kai?
No. So it's kind of hard to see because it's a little dark, but his eyes are blue.
Yes.
In Hawaiian, it's Kai is for ocean, for like water. So that came to me when I saw him. I was like, he has blue eyes. And then Kai came to me.
Oh my goodness. How old?
I love him.
How old is Kai?
Kai will be 12 weeks on Thursday. So he's a puppy. Yeah,
and he's learning all the rules. How are the rules going?
So he's about 90% on house training, which
is cool.
He sleeps through the night already, which is great. We're working on the biting thing.
Okay. Other than that.
Okay, so am I. So. You know.
Yeah. Other than that, he's good. He likes the camera. He's being a little shy right now, but.
Dad, what are you doing? Dad, you didn't get me ready for this. You didn't tell me I was going to be on TV today, Dad. I'm not ready.
I mean, if there was a sneaker closet like that behind me too, I would do exactly what he is doing. So I don't blame you, Kai.
Might be like his second time ever in here. Like,
I was gonna say, I imagine you don't allow him in here for obvious reasons.
No, you know, he's honest, he only likes shoelaces. He doesn't really like the whole shoe, but like there's a lot of shoelaces in here, so I don't wanna get him started with that because he's looking, he's like, those are anything bright colors, he's like, he's on it. Like, absolutely.
I love it. Well, Kai, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Yep. See you later, buddy.
Bye. Okay, let me take him back downstairs.
No problem.
I mean, I'm obsessed.
Well, look, that is our first four-legged guest on the show. Now, I'm sure Hazel has been in the background before, but Hazel's not a guest. She is kind of like...
Hazel is not about the celebrity life.
No.
I don't want to be on camera.
Exactly. She's just like, please, don't no pictures, please. Doing her best, Kardashian.
I don't know
no pictures.
What my human is doing over there.
That is totally Hazel. No, but it I saw the pictures of Kai on Wells' Instagram, and I was like, oh, Kai has got to be on this show. I was like,
he was excited. He got a treat out of that because he was good. So
nice.
I mean, that was a treat for me. So highlight of my day.
See, Gabby, Kicks and Shit Show, let it never be said that we are not here to bring joy to everybody's life in whatever form we can. Dogs, cool. We'll do that, too.
Absolutely.
So Wells, man, we want to start from the beginning with you. Obviously, everyone can see the fantastic shoe closet behind you, and that's only showing, I'm sure, a limited amount of your pairs. Where did it all begin? When did you fall in love with sneakers?
Probably in the fifth grade. Before that, the first pair of real cool shoes I got was Cement 4 Jordans when I was seven, and I remember begging my mom. I was like, I really want these. And this was back when Sears sold Jordan.
Wow.
And so we were there on a Sunday, and I was like, I really want these. And that, they were $30. And she's like, that is just too much to spend on shoes you're going to. But she got them for me. And so it kind of just started from there. And so I was into pretty much everything. And I want to say fifth grade, I got kind of serious with it of what I was kind of getting more into. I really liked the Barclays and the Jordans, and even the Grant Hill Filas were my shit in junior high school. And then from there, it kind of just took off, man. I will say the great thing about my collection is that my shoe size peaked by the seventh grade. So I still have things from 20 something years ago. I never had to get rid of. Because I hit my size between then, so it was good. Yeah.
Gabby, put the emojis up on the screen. You got the heart.
I had to put the emojis like that. It just looks weird if I do it, but that's amazing. I feel like that is in itself rare in sneaker culture to be able to have those kicks. I mean, that's the biggest thing growing up is that those kicks don't fit anymore for most of us.
For sure. Yeah.
By the time I started to be able to, like, you know, spend my allowance money on it, was fine. I was, like, able to, I still got some of those shoes hanging around.
Wells, you mentioned the CBs, Charles Barkley shoes. I'm like tongue tied today. CBs, the Grant Hill Filas. Mm-hmm. So you were a baller growing up.
Yeah, I still play ball to this day. If you look at my Instagram, I just dropped a mixtape video today of our run on Sunday. So I mean, it's much different. But yeah, I've been playing ball since I was like 5 years old, and that was the thing. It was seeing the kids who were a little bit older, and they had the cool sneakers, and I was like, I want to be like that, you know. And so I always feel like I live with this quote from Deion Sanders of, if you look good, you feel good. You feel good, you play good. And so I was like, at least if I'm not going to score, I'm at least look nice out there. So, yeah.
That is 100%. I live by that motto, right? It's like, the end result, like whatever you're doing, performing, presenting, may not end up being great, but at least I'm going to look good when I'm out there.
Nice out there, yeah.
You're talking about basketball. You said your mom, when you were young, she's like, that's too much money to spend on a pair of sneakers that you're going to mess up. Classic mom, you know, parent line. It's what they do.
Yep.
But were you that kid that was like, oh, let me get, when the East Bay catalog came, you'd be circling stuff and being like, and trying to like, mom. And you're like, in Christmas Story when he would like put the thing inside the Life magazine in her copy. Yeah. Were you living little subtle hints around the house being like, oh, just curious.
That East Bay came to the house, it was like black marker on everything. The funny thing is, since we're like in March Madness now, I remember going to her with, it wasn't even for sneakers, the East Bay, when they used to sell the full uniforms of sneakers. And I circled like the Michigan, the Fab Five, like the whole Fab Five, the Marcus Camby, like everybody. And I was like, this is what, like that East Bay. And then you take it to school and then you come home and be like, and then the next thing you know, you got $1,500 worth of stuff that you're asking your parents for. It's like, show me some grades. You might get, you might get one thing for your birthday.
And they had every color of everything. I think that's what it was for me, right? So my parents would be like, you don't need 37 colors of the same, like, Adidas three-stripe pants.
No, you don't. Like, yeah, I just need, like, that was the thing. I feel like the East Bay for me was like, man, I remember when the Foamposite first hit it, and everybody was like, that's a $200 sneaker. And everybody was like, just nobody's going to get this. Nobody's going to get this. And one kid at school got it over Christmas break. And I've never been more envious of anything in my entire life, because everybody had the East Bay at school and was like, man, nobody's getting this or whatever. And then the kid came back with it. So, yeah, that was definitely take it to your parents and see what you can finesse out of it.
Classic kid moves, right? Always try to finesse. I mean, that is what kids live by. And it's always, that's their thing. Yeah, show me some grades. Or one of my classic parent lines would be, you got a job?
Like, yeah, you got $200 shoe money, you know.
How many dishes I got to do, Mom? I got you.
Yeah, got this. Never enough chores to be able to make that up.
Never.
No, it's true. And I think, like, sneaker culture has come so far from there, and I keep, like, ogling the collection that you have behind you from some of, like, the newer pairs, the olders. I see a little some Yeezys, some Nike Yeezys back there. And East Bay always had all the brands. Have you been, like, a traditional Nike and Jordan head, or do you...
Yeah.
Do you dabble? I see some Converse back there. I know that's under the Nike family.
But. Yeah. I've been, pretty, the whole room, to be honest, is all Nikes. Yeah. But yeah, I've been like a Nike loyalist for the better part of my life. A couple of things sprinkled in here and there, but for the most part, yeah, all Nike stuff.
So, you know, you mentioned Nike loyalists. I have to ask you, you know, how have you felt just in general about sneakers and the sneakers app, right? And some of the botched releases that have happened, notably, of course, the Trophy Room ones earlier this year. Of course, we know about the West Coast Joe story that got everybody all up in arms. Generally speaking, how are you feeling about Nike as a brand? As you said, you are a loyalist and your relationship with them.
Yeah, I think that, like, everybody has the same issues with the sneakers app. I think if you say that you don't, like, you're lying. I've gotten to the point where I respect my peace, so I just deleted it from my phone. It's just not, like, I just know what's going to happen with it. I think that definitely something needs to be done about, like, you know, the whole bot situation, the reseller situation, you know, just giving people more of a fair playing field. I do understand that no matter what Nike does, people aren't going to be happy. They could release 4 million pairs of Trophy Room ones and 8 million people are going to be pissed that they didn't get it. So it's not really like that part, I think, isn't the, you know, the upset part. It's more of just having the opportunity, right? You know, we all love shoes and we all just love to have a fair chance to be able to get on in the morning and at least know that, like, hey, maybe one of my friends got it, or maybe, but like when you see pictures of one person with 130 pairs and you're like, okay. And I just, you know, kind of knowing a little bit about what's going on, I'm like, all right, that's like 15-20% of everything that was going to be on that app. So, you know, things like that definitely need to get taken care of. And I think that they're going to be, you know, as time goes on, they'll try to get this all under control. Yeah.
It's funny because we talk about this a lot, about the brand loyalty for Nike on this show, and that it's almost like too big to fail. I was on a very interesting Clubhouse room around the West Coast Joe scandal of 2021, and I think the founder of K-Swiss was one of the speakers, and he was like, this would never happen for us. Like, people would be gone. What is it about Nike that, even though the experience is what it is, you know, I mean, you see around me, I'm surrounded by Nike boxes as well. What keeps you coming back?
It's just, a lot of it is the lineage, right? A lot of it is not just based off of one exclusive pair of shoes, right? Like, every kind of shoe, for me, tells a story. And not all of them have to be super, you know, exclusive type shoes, right? Like, one of my first favorite Nike shoes was the Air Mission that Junior Seau used to wear. Nobody cares about those. So when they came back out, I was able to get, like, all the colors because nobody was really into them, right? So, like, things like that, knowing that, like, same thing, like, a couple weeks ago, the Griffies came back out. People weren't really on them, right? They're just like, wow, nobody really cares. I'm just like, that was the greatest, one of the greatest shoes of my childhood. I'm going to buy two pairs of them, right? So it's things like that. Like, you know, of course I want, you know, Jordan 1s. Of course I want, you know, Kobe's and all that stuff. But, like, I get it. And I just, like I said, I respect my piece. And I just say, all right, you know what? If I really, really, really want this shoe, I'll just, you know, if I have to pay the extra or whatever, go, it's fine. It's cool. Like, I'm blessed to be able to do that if I need to. But yeah, I'm not really, you know, going to say, like, I'm going to go switch and, you know, F Nike because they don't, like, nah, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, yeah.
I love that. No, I also love the fact that you're like, for my peace and sanity, I deleted the app. And I think that's the big thing that so many people like. But right now, it's such like the in thing to do, right? To like post your L's on whatever social media feed. And I'm like, why are we celebrating misery?
And misery loves company, Gerard.
It sure does. It sure does. But Wells, I loved your point about, because it's a point I always make. It's not that you expect to win. It's that you expect the process to be fair. That's all. And you know it's not because you see someone with, like, wait, well, this ain't fair. Homie's got 400 pairs of shoes in his room. That's all.
Yeah, it's like, that's just the thing. It's like just the process of it. Just when you log on at, you know, LA time at 8 o'clock, by 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, you look and you're like, oh, okay, this dude has 100 pairs of this shoe that everybody was trying to get. And now everybody's talking about how upset they are at Nike and at this person. And it's just like, look, at the end of the day, like, you're blessed to be able to buy these shoes, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many people who, especially in this last year, who can barely afford to keep their lights on, which are actually cheaper than a pair of these shoes. So there's so many bigger things to fry. And, like, we have to just realize that we're, like, truly blessed to be in the position of that. And, you know, it's upsetting. But you control that, right? Like, you can just literally be like, delete. I don't even know what's happening. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, cool. You know, but you go on about your day versus making it, you know, ruining your weekend or your weekday.
Perspective. I love it. That's really what we're talking about here. So let's move. Looking at the industry now, we had Jazzy Allen Lord on last week, and, you know, she is just a badass chick in this industry. We were talking about Tinker Hatfield and Kanye West, and there's a conversation about that on Twitter. I'm curious, like, as we move forward, do you think Nike's still going to have the same cultural relevancy that it has now 30, 40, 50 years from now? Or will like Yeezy and his whole line with Adidas, or even what Jerry Lorenzo is doing, the Fear of God, like will that sort of like, you know, supersede or potentially take some of that shine away?
I don't think so. I think Nike has a stamp on every kind of category, right? Like, I think that if you take away, if you take away one thing, there's 10 other things that can step into the place for the brand. I think that it shows that. I think that you see Nike still being able to, retro and re-retro shoes, and people are still on them. Whereas, like, other brands, they're doing it, but it's not at the same type of level. You don't get the same type of fanfare when it comes to it. But I think that, I think what Jerry's doing is absolutely amazing. I think the jump that he made will totally bring that brand, skyrocket it up, especially into the basketball space where they definitely need the help. And bringing over Jason Maiden too, like, I think that's going to be like huge for them. But I think that there's space for everybody, right? Like, I think that like the kids today have carved a niche out for all of these other different brands. And they've figured out like, Yeezy is here to stay, right? Whatever he decides to do, he could just rerun these shoes for the next 20 years and it'll be totally just like kind of a Jordan effect, right? But on the other hand, Nike can re-release, can just go back to the catalog and just pick a year and then just kill everything, right? If they say like, all right, we're going to go back to 1998, and you're like, well, they've taken over the whole year, right? Or if they decide, oh, we're going to go back and re-release starting the LeBron and Kobe 1, we're going to just release all the colors again. We're going to re-release the Pennies, the Garnets, things that people still want to this day. A lot of the other brands don't have that, right? Like, there's not a signature shoe that you can say, okay, if such and such releases this, people are going to go and camp outside or be mad at the app or something like that.
I think to that point, though, like a lot of those signature shoes growing up of those players, they don't exist anymore, right? Like the Starberry and whatnot. Oh. What was your favorite shoe that is not Nike that you wish could be brought back?
I was going to say the Fila Grandhill came back a couple of years ago. I would say that is not a Nike. I would probably go with, what did I used to wear? Oh man, that's such a good question. You know what? I would probably go with the original Grant Hill Fila, not the ones with the patent leather on the outside, but the sole with the big Fila on the heel. Like those would be cool. Like those would be cool to do. I was gonna say the Shaq pumps, but those came back out, I believe. Like
they just come back out, yeah.
So I snagged a pair of those. Those were like one of my favorite shoes as a kid growing up. So probably the Grant Hill Filas.
What about the Pat Ewings? Anybody want to rock them Ewings?
You know what?
Look at those Ewings.
I had a pair of Ewings. Funny, I had a pair of Ewings, but like they look so funny on me because they're bulky as hell.
Yeah.
Like,
very bulky.
They're built for Patrick Ewing, right? Like I'm not a Patrick Ewing built type dude, so I look crazy. In those, but I had a pair as a kid. I definitely had a pair as a kid.
You know,
that's probably why they look so good on me.
You are not building Patrick. Stop the madness. But you know, you said something interesting about Nike gets to decide, oh, I'm just going to re-release this year or do whatever. Do you think that is why Jordan Brand, aside from the Westbrook why nots, they haven't really done much in terms of when they sign an athlete, I'm going to give you a signature shoe. It's like, nah, let's just keep putting you in these in these Jordans and keep adding the year here.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, people are going to go for what they've seen before, right? Like, the Jordan basketball shoes perform absolutely well, right? But the concept of wearing a player-specific shoe when you know that there is a regular Jordan, people are going to choose a regular Jordan. Like, Chris Paul has, like, 15 different versions of his shoe. He's, like, the only person you ever see wear them, right? Because people are like, I'd rather just wear retros, or I'd rather just wear, a team color edition of this shoe. I think that the Westbrook shoe is like very out of the box, just like him, and it plays really well. But it's like, people still want to look nice on the court, right? And like, they're like, if I can wear something cool, it's fine. But you see, like, actual hoopers. What team was it last night? I think Houston. Mm-hmm. Houston. A lot of them were wearing the Westbrook. So I think it's more of a team shoe, team shoe concept. Or maybe if you're like forced to wear it or something like that.
That makes sense, though. I mean, some of the shoes that the guys wear on the court, like, I don't know how they ball in. Like, I couldn't play in a pair of threes. They look great, but I couldn't play in a pair of threes. Yeah. So for me, I always wonder, because we talk a lot about function versus fashion on this show. And, you know, I'm somebody who likes a KD because I like some of the colorways. But even that is not necessarily considered a fashion shoe in the way that Jordan is, with especially some of the earlier retros. So what do you think the hardest sneaker is to play in from all of those original retros?
From originals? Oh, yeah. I would probably agree with between the threes and the ones. Like, I don't know how Cap played. They're so flat. Like, they're so flat, and, like, you just feel like there's no – yeah, like, no. I tried to play in threes before. Couldn't do it. Tried to play in ones. Like, I didn't even – I ran up the court one time. I was like, these are coming off. I think it's just the leather is, like, you know, it's kind of thick. And I like stuff that, like, I can move around in. I like low-top sneakers to hoop in anyway, but yeah, threes are tough. My feet were aching after
it is interesting though, right? Because like with so many shoes, it's like with the KDs, right? There are certain lines of those that I'm like, ooh, I like those. Like the nines I like a lot, right? But it's like not everyone. Like a lot of the later pairs now, I'm kind of like, not really into them. You know, I love those PEs, the Scrooge McDucks. Those, I like those. You're obsessed. Got to get my man Chad on that, because, I mean, I don't know how I'm going to ever find those. They probably only one, his pair and maybe one other one. Exactly, another late.com. So we talked about, obviously, your love for shoes, but you're also a DJ. And music, basketball, I mean, they literally seem like they just belong together, right? Like peanut butter and jelly in a sandwich. So talk to me a little bit about your music love and how you incorporate sneakers into that. Do you rock sneakers when you're DJing? Like, is it the whole, talk to us about a little bit about that.
Yeah, man. I mean, music is life. I've been into music about the same amount of time I've been in the sneakers. Like, I've always been obsessed with just music and beats and, like, just good vibes and stuff like that. It intersects with sneakers a lot. Like, I have gotten to DJ for Michael Jordan and Kobe and Chris Paul and Michael B. Jordan, like all those guys who are, like, you know, into sneakers and stuff. And I always wear, like, you know, my flyest stuff whenever I get a chance to DJ for them. But yeah, it's a beautiful cross culture of it, because you always hear, like, I always listen for, like, sneaker lines in the songs, you know, and, like, I've had times where, like, I've done stuff for athletes and, like, been able to incorporate their name. Like, I hear their name in a song and be able to spin it there, and they look up, like, oh, okay. you know, so things like that. It's I love DJing. I've been DJing since I was a kid, and, you know, it's one of my, outside of playing basketball, it's, like, one of my biggest passions, man.
What has been the dopest, like, run on a DJ set you've done? Because that's the thing I always love, right? Is like when, because you know, everybody's been to a party or whatever, and the DJ just goes on this like 10 song run, and you're like, yo, dude's on fire right now.
Yeah. Oh, man. The craziest run was probably, there's two. One recently was All-Star Weekend when it was here in LA. I DJed the All-Star after party for Nike. And it was like, you know, all the players and everything like that. And I remember between like 1 and 1:30, that shit was like, it was at the highlight of Hollywood. That shit was like, I looked up. It was funny that I was in the zone. And then I just looked up and I'm like, the building was like moving. And Kyrie was at the table next to the booth, and he came up and was like, yo, you fucking killing it, bro. He's like, and I was like, okay, what you want to hear? And so he was like, yo, I need to get in my island bag. So I just went straight reggae for like 20, 30 minutes. And it was just like, it reminded me like, if you ever seen the Girls Them Sugar video by Beanie Man, it looked like the walls were sweating and people were just vibing.
I love it.
I would say the coolest DJ moment for me would probably be I got to DJ in Dodger Stadium.
Nice.
Crazy. Like, and I got to play Future's March Madness, and that definitely wasn't on my playlist, but I was like, I gotta play this. And just like, you know, it's Dodger Stadium. I mean, come on now. But just seeing like the, you know, like players bop into everything, and you know, that to me is just like, You know, it's so rewarding.
Yeah.
Because you know, you put in the work to try to, like, you know, make sure you have the best blends and just to, you know, keep the stuff upbeat and everything. Mm-hmm. So seeing moments like that is always great.
And it's also like you're also part observationalist, right? Because you got to peep the vibe of what everybody's doing when you're there. It's like you may come in with the idea of, all right, we're doing an all-star party. All right, I'm cool. I know all hip hop. But then you play like a certain genre. People are like, and you got to make that quick pivot. And you're like, all right, they're in this 90s groove right now. Yeah. Let me
that's
stay here for a while.
Despacito on repeat. Despacito. But no, it's a curation of vibes.
Yeah,
I think
it is. I will say this, the hardest person to, the most, not really hardest, the most intimidating person to DJ for was Kobe, because he was very, like, he was a music savant, and, like, he was very East Coast music heavy, so whenever we would do events, he would leave it to me of, like, all right, you gotta bring me out to some shit, and I'm like, all right, so, like, what can I do, right? And so, one of the last events I did with him, he's like, what you got? And I was like, all right, gotcha. And so when he was announced, I dropped Drake trophies, and nice. The place went ballistic. And I was like, okay, that's the one. And so, yeah, because it's like, you know, you don't want to mess it. You don't want to play something whack.
No.
And
then,
you know, like, can't play something whack for the Mamba. Nah.
Nah, you got to
be like, Mamba out.
or you get that death stare that you never want to see. Like, I don't know about that.
I mean, that's I can hear it now. Burr, 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 right? It's just.
I knew it was coming. I was going to do like a dramatic.
Not because it. I mean, first of all, as you know, though, right? Like trumpets and horns are they're regal, right? Because that's like from historical times. That's when they would announce kings and queens and all that. Yep. So it kind of works. So it's pretty dope. So I imagine as a kid growing up in L.A., Kobe meant so much to you. Like, so give us a little bit of that. Obviously, you give us a personal story, which is dope. And then, like, if you can, share, like, when you found out what happened, like, where were you and what was that experience like?
Yeah, so, I mean, growing up, like, I mean, we're only, I think, 3 or 4 years apart in age. So, like, he was coming into the Lakers when I was, like, in freshman in high school. And so it was like, damn, this dude is, like, only a couple years older and he's playing for the Lakers. Like, that's a dream, right? And then just being able to, like, see his whole career and just not even just about basketball, like, what he meant for the city and just the joy of, like, you know, we would win championships and it's like the city would just go crazy. And, like, you know, he was like, you know, I got to see Magic play as a kid, but, like, this was different. Like, I was more going into adulthood where, you know, like, I mean, even Lakers tickets were expensive when I was a kid, but, like, they're, you know, more expensive as an adult. But, like, I was, like, scrounging my change. Like, I got to go see Kobe play. And, you know, being able to see, you know, him win championship, I got to go to his last game, you know, like, that was sports wise the craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, I still get goosebumps thinking about it. And then you would ask, like, you know, his passing. I was literally on a basketball court. I was on a basketball court. We were literally checking the ball up to start the game, and some dudes who had just finished the game before was like, yo, Kobe just died. And we're just like, what, man? It's a rumor, you know? And by the time our game was done, we looked up and there's a TV above the court, and it was like, you know, showed the news and everything. And I got back to my phone, and it was the most surreal, depressing day that I can say. Because one, it was more of, I have friends who work for him, you know, so my first thought was who was on the helicopter with him. And of course, the first thing you do is pick up your phone, start calling, and nobody's picking up their phone. So you're just like, what the fuck, you know, like everything like that. But it was, you know, I don't know if the city will ever get over that. You know, I think that just the way that everything's happened in the last year, from his passing to, you know, going to his funeral at Staples was like, it was weird. I will just say that. Like, I saw so many amazing moments from that man in that building, and then to say, like, this is the finality of his life just was weird. And then to go from there to COVID and everything shut down, and then the Lakers championship and Kobe's not here to see it. It's just things that don't make any sense. But, you know, all we can do is just, you know, live with the memories that he gave us. You know, and continue on that mentality of just like getting shit done. And, you know, that's kind of how I operate on a daily basis. I have so many reminders of him like around the house. You know, so it's just every time I'm feeling like I don't feel like doing it, I see it's like a poster here or like a, you know, a painting I have over here and stuff like that. So yeah, man, it's a tough one, but you know, day by day, it gets better.
It's so interesting because Kobe, in so many ways, even though, right, like he's a Philly guy, right? Yeah. And then spent time in Italy, like he means something to LA that he doesn't mean to any other part of the world, right? And it's just so, and that includes like China, all these places where like, you know, mm-hmm. billions of people love Kobe. It's just like LA is this special thing. And it's so interesting because I think so much of everything that happens is timing, right? It's mm-hmm. it's the age at which he became who he is, right? And with the internet and social media, it's like all these forces, right? Everyone knows the Kobe meme, rolling up a piece of paper, throwing it at the trash can, and yell, right? It's just all those things, like, then sort of, like, enhance the myth and the legend, right? Like, so, like, 50 years from now or 100 years from now, we won't be here. I can only imagine what kind of stories people are going to tell, right? Like, it's going to be, like, this, it's like, what? It's going to make him sound like he's, you know, some, like, huge giant, like, that towered among mere mortals.
He was larger than life, you know? I mean, on off the court.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, here in L.A., like, you know, there's a very small Mount Rushmore of figures, right? And Kobe's at the top of it. And it's Kobe, it's Magic, and it's whoever is really good for the Dodgers at that time.
Right.
But, you know, what Kobe meant to this city, you know, went way past basketball. He was able to unite this city that is such a divided city, right? And one person was able to singularly bring it together. Whenever the Lakers were playing or whenever the Lakers were winning, or it's like everybody came together. Those parades are just, I mean, I can't even put it into words how amazing it is to see the mix of everybody in the city. Because like I tell people who aren't from here, like LA is such a huge city that it's pretty much separated by mm-hmm. like people who never come, you know, they never come west of here or north of here or south of here. But, you know, when Kobe was on, everybody came together, you know, and it felt like his last game, it felt like we won a championship, but it was like the Lakers' 17th win of the season. But it was like everyone was outside in the streets dancing around, like, you know, it was, you know, not many people can do that.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. That was a very interesting sports day, NBA, because that was the same day that Warriors are going for win number 73. And I happened to be living in the Bay Area at the time. So it was such an interesting dynamic because I wasn't in L.A., but I was like, I know what the vibe is in L.A. right now. But it was this weird thing of like Warriors, and that was happening here. So Bay Area was very Warriors, but like there were still pockets of like, yo, but look what Kobe's. It was so such a bizarre day. Like that's a day I'd love to just like go back and just like replay in my mind. Like, what did I do that day? Because it was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it was I think I have it on my Instagram. The last 5 minutes or so of the fourth quarter, when he started going crazy, I was luckily where my seats were, there was a ledge. And what I did was I put my camera and just put it on record. And it recorded the last 5 minutes of the game with like no touch. It was just, you see the Staples Center just go crazy. And I watch that shit all the time because it's like, I was there. And like to feel that energy of like when he hit like 55, you start hitting these crazy threes, it's like, this is it. This is the last time we're going to see this dude play. And this is the performance that we get, all while knowing that the Warriors were going to tie the Bulls or beat the Bulls record. And the Lakers were must see because they were about to win their 17th game of the year.
it was a wild sports day. Man, Wells, we could talk about this stuff for a million hours, but we don't have a million hours. Folks, stay tuned because coming up next is America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by Another Lane, the premier digital marketplace for dope kicks. Don't go away. What's good, everybody? We're back, and you know what time it is. America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by Another Lane. Listen, y'all know that it's the premier digital marketplace for dope kicks. You know that. You know that Adina and Chad, husband and wife duo, they run that shit. You already know that. You know about the verified way in which you can get on their platform, the community, the content, looking for those exclusive pairs of sneakers. So the question I have for you people out there, why are you not on anotherlane.com right now? Get there.
Level up.
Seriously. All right, Wells, this is your show, my man. Take over.
All right. Let's see. Where do we want to go with it? All right. So you said to show some heaters, right?
Heaters.
let's take it back to let's go here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think kind of the first shoe people started going about. I was lucky enough to not have to go through stress for those, so that's that was good.
I like that that's the first pair you grabbed, too, because out of all the beautiful shoes there, that was the one that Gerard goes, look at those foams. And I was like, yeah. So much to look at, Gerard.
Well, I got
to
start.
That was the first pair.
Yeah, I wanted to start it off a little light. So before we get into into that. These here are the Atmos Air Max 1s. Mm. I have, like, a really cool story about them. So a buddy of mine was a – oh, sorry. I struck out on getting these starting back in 07. And luckily, a buddy of mine happened to be in Japan when they dropped for Air Max Day a couple years ago, and these happened to be the last ones at Atmos, which were in my size, and he flew to LA with them because he didn't trust shipping them.
Hell no.
And delivered them to me. So those are a cool story there.
I love that.
Let's see. These are cool. These are the new name coming out. Market
yes.
Converses with a cool little twist to them.
Oh, Wells P, we see you.
Those are cool. Those are cool.
I love it. You're like, new name coming out because we don't want to say the old name.
Press release has been issued.
These are cool. Watch the Throne.
Oh.
LeBron 9s.
Mm-hmm.
Best tour ever.
Good tour.
Do you keep the boxes when you have a setup like this?
No, because there's really not space for that. Like, there's space for the shoes not to wear. These are cool. So I'm really into women's basketball, and these were a special KL Kobe.
Yeah.
Kobe 10.
Yeah.
Done for the WNBA All-Star Game. So another good reason of your foot stopping to grow, you can fit shoes when they kind of fall into your lap. let's see. What does everyone have a cool story? Oh, these. These are secrets.
Oh.
I mean, I love those.
I mean, you're a Knicks fan, so you can kind of put two together on those.
You said these are secrets.
By 7, right? By 7, right?
No, I wish. I would send them.
I mean, same.
This is one of my favorite shoes. LeBron 2, St. Vincent, St. Mary edition. One of my faves. Like, just the silhouette of the shoe.
I love the homage, too, to the roots, you know, back to St. Vincent, St. Mary. That's always nice.
Yep. Let's see. What haven't I showed you? Oh, yeah. So they're playing tonight. Kobe 5, USC.
Mm-hmm.
Go Trojans.
Fight on.
All right, give you two more. Fragment Jordan 1s.
Oh, my favorite collab. Were a
great birthday gift from a friend of mine. It was like, hey, do you like these? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
Do you like these? Absolutely.
Like then those. Oh, yeah. These are another one of my faves too. Fear of God.
Yeah.
Yellow.
And the yellow too. I like that.
Yeah, these are like, you wear these out, and it's like everybody's like, "What the hell are those movies?" and then so for my last one.
Oh.
You got that shmoney. Okay.
Listen. Wells, Wells ain't no joke.
The lows.
Yeah. You know me, Gabs. It's the lows. That's what I'd rock. There's a lows.
I think you're having a hot flash over there.
I'm glad you guys said that. I like the lows way better. Like, I saw them, I was like, I think I'll get the lows. I think the lows are more, they have more personality than the highs. I feel like the highs look like the, there was like a laser one that kind of looked like this. But so these are my kids. fun. Wait, time out. No, actually.
He got more. He's got more.
I have the.
Right now, I'm excited.
So let me flip this around.
mean,
I'm like that Wells said, you know, which one should I get? And I'm like, I'm getting a second mortgage on my house before I get a pair of those.
These are my kids' college funds.
These
are a pair of Jordan Band 1s signed by
the legend.
He said my kids' college fund. Yep, that sounds about right.
That's the kids' college fund. So yeah, those are my grills.
Woo! Wells, man, that was one of those things. He kind of, like, what I loved about this one, Gabby, is, like, because we have all different kinds of show and tell, right? People bring out, like, because they're in different rooms in their house, whatever. They come out, all right, here are my five, whatever. My man just went to his wall, like a library, like, these are nice. Those are nice. Like, I love that.
And the crescendo on that one. I'm like, and now I feel like I own no sneakers. I'm like, this is all trash behind me.
But that's what we love here, though, right? It's all different levels and styles and types of collectors, right? And I know Wells would agree with this. It isn't necessarily about how many pairs of shoes you own, right? That doesn't make you, like, whatever, a number one collector. It's about what these things mean to you, right? And you know, the whole fit, like, when you're putting your outfit together, like, it's about that, right? Because you're like a walking piece of art, right? When you put the whole head to toe together. So he's got some choices there when he's deciding, all right, I'm a canvas today. What am I feeling like?
No, that's the thing. I'm like all about, like, making sure the fit matches the shoes. And then, you know, just like I said, all of them kind of have a story. And I just love them. They're like, you know, they're like my kids. So, you know, I mean, they do get out of hand. I do need to clean up the sneaker room. But yeah, no, I love Kicks.
And as long as we keep Kai out of there, so there's no problems.
Yeah, Kai is definitely banned until he's old enough to realize the investment.
Folks, that was Kai's got his own room. Folks, that was Shoe and Tell, presented by Another Lane, the premier digital marketplace for dope kicks. Seriously, make sure you head over there and check it out, anotherlane.com. And that was another fantastic episode of the Kicks and Shit Show. Wells, we appreciate you, man. Tell the people where they can find you.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me. You can find me on all social media at Wells_P. Very simple.
Listen, and if you got that kind of funds, hire my man to be your DJ. You know, I mean, listen, he DJs for, like, important people. So, I mean, you know, you got to, like, make sure your bread is correct when you come talk to
him. Yeah. Send over the budget. We'll talk.
I love it. Folks, you know where to find us. As always, we are part of the Count the Dings family. So you can find us on the Bomb Podcast feed. Hey, the Bomb Podcast feed has got dope shows. You got It's Crazy, Sexy, Cool with the ladies from Las Vegas on there. You got the original OG Bomb Show with Waz, Jerv, Amin, Trey, all the guys, right? You got Woke Bros. You got Growing Up the Same. You got the Rap Name Podcast. Listen, Bomb Podcast feed. We're so happy to be a part of that family. Check us out. And, of course, we're at Kicks and Shit Show on all social media platforms. Subscribe to that YouTube channel. And until next time, peace.